Happy New Year, because today is the first day of the new church year. As Christians, we count time not by months starting in January, but by seasons beginning in Advent, those four Sundays leading up to Christmas. We do this because Christmas, the celebration of Jesus' birth, is where it all begins. And so we light the Advent wreath, giving the candles names like peace, hope, joy, and trust. Sometimes you hear other names as well, but these were chosen to match the themes for our gospel texts this year. And notice the shape of the wreath. Obviously, it's a circle symbolizing eternity, because something is happening here that is more than what meets the eye. It's eternal. It doesn't end on December 25th, but rather it continues on through the church year and beyond. Advent gives us the countdown to Christmas because such a momentous event requires preparation. But not, as many believe, just for Christmas. There is so much more. To illustrate, I'm going to tell you a true story. A friend of ours was at that time the father of several small children, one of whom was just learning how to cross the street. One day he was teaching her to look both ways. They did this and then proceeded to cross. As they walked, the dad quizzed his little girl. "So, when we look both ways, what are we looking for?" And his little girl looked up at him and said, her eyes serious, "Bugs." Well, bugs are a good thing to watch for, but possibly not the most important thing. And are we any different as we prepare for Jesus' birth, getting distracted by Christmas shopping, cooking, decorating, and all the fun stuff that seems so important to us? Now, don't get me wrong, I love all of those things too. But if that is our focus, we stand in danger of looking for bugs when more important things just whiz by. Advent is a wake-up call. Wake up, it says, look up, widen your horizons. Jesus is coming. Advent has a dual focus. It is preparation for the celebration of Christmas, when God took on human flesh and entered into the fray of this troubled world. It is also preparation for Jesus' return at the end of time, when all of God's promises will finally and completely be fulfilled, setting the world to rights and ushering in his government of justice and peace. When war will be no more, as we read in our first lesson, even the lion will lie down with the lamb. No enmity of any kind at any level. What a world that will be. Advent must be observed with this dual focus. The incarnation is so important. But our modern world has taken Christmas and turned it into Santas and Grinches and snowmen. It has devolved into Hallmark sentimentality, all the stuff we enjoy so much. But when taking center stage, it finally disappoints. What if your family can't all be there? What if there has been a recent loss? What if your own living situation is less than ideal? Or your travel plans go awry? Or you lose your job and then you can't afford anything. Then the modern version of Christmas becomes quite hollow. Worse, it can usher in feelings of despair as the world around you seems to be carried away by a level of happiness that just passes you by. No, this is not what God had intended when he sent his son to be born in a manger and angels sang about peace on earth. Advent stubbornly clings to a wider view, one that takes into account this troubled world, a world that inevitably disappoints. But we as Americans, we are not prepared for disappointment. We are always expecting things to improve. Consider those affected by recent PG&E outages. The first and even the second wave of such events caught people woefully unprepared. Food spoiled, businesses lost money, the daily lives of thousands were disrupted. Or what about earthquakes? We in California are told to prepare for the big one. Are you prepared? My guess is that, like me, you tend rather to just hope for the best. You know, we think things like, we're safe, or it won't be so bad, or technology will warn us in time. Something will work out. That's the way we think. We tend to expect improvement, not disappointment. So let's take that mindset to a personal level. We don't prepare for personal tragedies either. Is your will up to date? Cancer, heart disease, dementia, death. We may worry about these things, but when they actually happen, we are taken by surprise. We are not prepared. And here's the point. Our American mindset is invested in the next new thing. Technology, modern medicine. So we don't plan for the worst. We hope for the best. We expect the best to happen. Pretty much, our hopes are invested in this life. But when you invest all of your hopes and dreams into this life, the eventual result will be disappointment, because it's an imperfect world. The perfect wedding, perfect job, perfect spouse, perfect Christmas don't exist, not for long. Something, someone will let you down. Life lets you down. And it's so very disappointing. Sometimes it leads to despair. What's worse, many people lose faith. Isn't God supposed to protect me? What was God thinking? Where is God in all of this? Are some of the questions that are often asked. The underlying assumption is that God's job is to make our lives happy, secure, and successful. And when that doesn't happen, we feel abandoned by God. And some lose faith altogether. Enter Advent. Yes, Advent prepares us for Christmas, but Advent also sets us up for the coming of God's good and sovereign rule, which we so desperately need. The camera rolls way back to pan away from its focus on a small manger in a tiny corner of Palestine to pan over the whole world. The passing away of the old and the beginning of an entirely new world order where Christ will rule. When that happens, everyone will follow God's ways of justice and kindness. No one will rebel. We read it this morning in Isaiah. Many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and we may walk in his paths. This, my friends, is where you should place your hope. This is what we're waiting for. This is the ultimate new thing that God offers in Advent. But we have to prepare. As Jesus warns, this world is going to get a whole lot worse before it gets better. If you read through the entire chapter of Matthew 24, you will find wars and rumors of wars, disasters of every kind. And only then comes Jesus' warning, which we read today. Be watching, be ready, because he will come at the least expected moment. It will be just like the time of Noah, when everyone was just going about their normal daily activities before the flood wiped it all away. And just saying, the picture painted by Matthew is the exact opposite from what popular notions such as those offered in the Left Behind series would say. Check it out. The faithful were those left behind in the ark. Everyone else was swept away. And just as it was in the time of Noah, so it will be when Jesus returns. You will be just going about your normal life, shopping, going to work, studying at school, celebrating weddings and graduations, maybe on Christmas Day opening your presents, and Jesus will return. Just when you least expect it. So be ready. Be ready. What does that mean for you? First of all, it means not all of your hopes and dreams will come to fruition in this life. Some will. Jesus told us straight, in this world you will have trouble. The whole Bible bears witness to this reality. From the disrupted and frustrated lives of God's people in the Old Testament to the New Testament with its description of Jesus' death on the cross, the persecution of the apostles, and the apocalyptic painting of this world as it draws to a close. So we, in the 21st century, need to be ready and prepared, knowing that it may be more difficult, not less, as the time draws near. Second, it means to take it seriously. If your journey is going to go through a hard patch, then you prepare for that. So how do we do that as God's people? We do that right here. In worship, in grow groups, youth groups, classes, and more, you will hear God's word. You will find encouragement from your fellow believers. In Scripture, you will find the truth and be equipped to live accordingly. In prayer, you will find strength and direction. Friends, you are not meant to go it alone. God is there for you. Your community of faith is there for you. And third, act on your faith. When the opportunity arises, speak up about Jesus. Reach out to those who don't know, or worse, have misunderstood his message. Tell them that far from wanting to condemn this world, God wants to save it. And that's why he sent Jesus. That God's love is so great that he sent his only son to die that we might live. You and I have been invited, as we continue to live in this wonderful yet troubled world, to participate with God as he transforms it. And there, my friends, is where you will find your joy. That's where you will find your hope and your peace. God will fulfill all of his good intentions. And we get to be part of the process. I can tell you, based on my own experiences and what I have heard from so many others, that this is where you will find your greatest fulfillment. This is where you will find your greatest joy. When Jesus predicted troubles in this world, he also said in the same breath, "But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That's good news. My friends, Advent is good news. Jesus came once and he will come again. The world will be restored to God's good intentions for it. It will be a place of peace, real justice, kindness, and harmony, where the name of Jesus will be lifted high by all. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess him as Lord. Where death will be no more, and the lion will lie down with the lamb. What a world that will be. I leave you with one final story, also true. Toward the end of World War II, a group of prisoners in a concentration camp were awakened one morning by fellow prisoners who were whispering the message, "Wake up! Get dressed! Deliverance is at hand." Word had filtered into the camp that the Allies were approaching. They could hear the rumblings of the tanks, and that in a matter of hours, the gates would be pulled open and they would finally step out into a new day of freedom, a chance to begin their lives all over again. The message was quickly passed from bed to bed. "Wake up! Get dressed! Deliverance is at hand." And soon, whatever prized bits of clothing had been hidden away were brought out and put on so that they could properly greet their deliverers. That is the anticipation of Advent. Wake up! Get dressed! Jesus will return, and what a great and glorious day that will be. Already you can hear the rumblings. Salvation is on the move. Deliverance is at hand. It began with Jesus' birth. And just like the first time, Jesus' coming will take you by surprise. Are you ready? Please pray with me. Oh, Lord Jesus, we are so ready for you to come again, given this troubled world, given the difficulties that we face, given the cosmic reality of the difficulties that will yet come. Lord Jesus, plant in our hearts that desire to work with you as God brings about this new world order. Let the future spill over into our present and help our anticipation become our reality as we find joy and peace and fulfillment in that work. Lord Jesus, come, for we pray in your name. Amen.